Anyway, he was up in those years, and I thought he had all the wisdom in the world, and he had a whole lot more than I did, that's for sure. I asked him the question. I said, "Sir, why are these two men like they are?" Well, he gave me the best answer that he knew. He said, "Thurman, it's management." He said, "One of those men have learned how to manage, and the other one has not learned how to manage." Well, I bought that for a lot of years. I thought, well, I need to learn how to manage. So I tried in life as I went along to try to learn how to become a good manager, because I thought that was what was going to make me prosperous and successful. But then one day I learned from the Word of God, it has nothing to do with management. It's wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. And God will give that wisdom to those that ask and ask in faith. And those that obey Him, then He will allow these wonderful blessings to come upon you, and you will be blessed in everything you put your hands to. Blessings or curses is totally your decision to make. If you're willing to get in the Word of God, read it and study it, and then obey it, then the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. God says He will make those blessings come upon you and overtake you. But He says if you do not, the curses will come upon you and overtake you. So I've learned it's not management at all. That has nothing to do with it. It's whether you're obedient to serve God or whatever. Now then, it seems like that these men, one of them always walked in the light and the other one always walked in darkness. And one had all these problems and the other one never had the problems. So when you look at that, you wonder, what is going on? And the Bible speaks clearly about these things. It calls them blessings and curses. Now then, the forces that determine history fall into two categories, visible and invisible. Now, it is the interplay between these two realms that determine the course of history. As long as we confine our attention to the things that are visible and the material world, we find ourselves confronted from time to time by events and situations we cannot fully explain. There's no explanation for them. So the visible realm belongs to all the normal objects and the material universe. We are familiar with these items, and we feel at home with them, even though sometimes things do not go like we would like them to go. We still feel fairly comfortable in the visible realm, in the normal objects and universe, that material universe that we live in. Now, for many people were like I was most of my life, the limits of their awareness do not go beyond this visible realm. They don't know there is another realm. Now, I knew to a very small degree that there was another realm. But I really didn't understand that realm until I really began to research the Word of God and study it in detail. Now then, the Bible opens the door to another world, the invisible universe, the spiritual realm. This spiritual realm, the invisible realm, is more real than the physical one. The physical one that we live in, the Lord says, is going to pass away. But the invisible one, it will not pass away. It is forever. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and thereon, Paul makes us aware of both of these realms. Both blessings and curses belong to the invisible realm. They are vehicles of the supernatural spiritual power. Blessings produce good and beneficial results. Curses produce bad and harmful results. They are seldom limited to just a person. Now, they can be just to a person, but most of the time they carry over beyond that. They can affect your whole family and even your community and even a whole nation. Now, you have no idea, since I've learned these principles and how they work, especially under the new covenant of unforgiveness, forgiveness and unforgiveness, since I've learned that unforgiveness does not affect just you, but it affects everything that's around you. It affects your spouse, your husband or your wife, whichever one you are, your children, and all of your assets come under a curse from God if you will not forgive everybody from your heart. Now, under the new covenant that we live under as Christians, this is the most devastating realm that I've ever experienced. This realm can destroy you and your children and cost you everything you own. You have no idea how many people I have been to hospitals to visit that were on their deathbeds that were under this curse. Sometimes the person that's on the deathbed is the one that has the unforgiveness. And without exception, every time somebody was under a curse from God for their unforgiveness and they were on their deathbed, if they forgave those people and asked God to forgive them, when I prayed for them, every one of them got well. Now, in the last several years, I've only had two men that would not repent of their sins. And one of those men died within 12 hours. The other one died within 2 days. But both of them had unforgiveness in their heart. And they would not forgive. And they died. The Lord tells me in His Word, it doesn't do any good to pray for a person that will not ask forgiveness for their sins. If they will not confess their faults one to another, they cannot be healed. So that is a devastating thing that people doesn't know. When you do not know these things, then you can't go beyond knowledge. So unforgiveness in the Word of God, in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, the Word of God is so clear in that parable that the Lord was telling Peter there, that if we do not forgive, we will not only, that man had to pay the price, but his wife had to be sold, his children had to be sold, and his lands and houses and all of his assets had to be sold to pay the price for his debt. So when a man and a woman get married, the two of them become one. So God sees a married team as one. Now, either the man or the woman, either one that has unforgiveness can open the door to the demonic world to attack either one of you. And I can tell you for sure which one he will attack first. If you get either one of you get into unforgiveness, the one that's walking the closest to the Lord spiritually will be the one the devil will attack first. It always happens like that. You take two people, like for instance a real example I had, a man and a woman. He was a deacon in a Baptist church. He loved God. He went to church. He served God. He did everything he knew to do to be in obedience to God's Word. He loved to teach the Word of God, everything. But his wife, she wasn't all that spiritual. She loved to hold grudges against the family. And she went to church sometimes, sometimes she didn't. But he was on fire for Jesus. Well, she got grudges against several family members. Well, he came down sick with cancer. She wasn't affected any way at all, other than he was sick and afflicted. For several years, he had this problem. Several years, he had the problem. And he kept getting worse and worse. And they did surgery on him a couple times or two or three times. They did chemo, radiation, and everything. And this man kept getting worse and worse and worse. He was under a curse from God. A demon or a host of demons had legal right to him in the invisible world to kill him. And they were working on him. They were destroying him. Finally, they burned a hole in his colon with radiation. They said it's impossible for him to live now. He's leaking on the inside, so they sent the man home to die and said he'd probably be dead in a week. Well, that's when his son got a hold of me, and I went and found out what the problem was, and it was the sin of unbelief and the sin of unforgiveness in his mother or the wife. We told the woman she had to repent and forgive all those people. Well, she did. When she saw these statements in God's Word where He says, if you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. Well, also in Matthew 18:35, The Lord says, if you do not forgive, I will turn you over to the tormenting spirits to destroy you. And that's what had happened in this case. So once she had repented of all of her sins, once she had gotten right with all of her relatives, in-laws, and so forth, and got all of her unforgiveness taken care of, then we took the Word of God and used this magnificent promise in James 5, 14, 15, and 16, where the Word of God says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them anoint him with oil, and pray the prayer of faith over him. Not the prayer of unbelief, but the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith shall make the sick person well. The Lord shall raise him up. Well, that's what we did for this man. Now, this man, remember, he had already been sent home to die. There was no hope. He'd had surgery 2 or 3 times, radiation, chemo, everything, and he's dying. And now then, the doctor said, there's no hope. But the problem was a curse. He was under a curse because of his wife. When she got rid of all of her unforgiveness and repented to God, that broke the power of the curse. When that was done, then, whenever he called as a Baptist deacon, whenever he got a group of men that could believe, and they brought a few deacons and the pastor in, and they did by faith what James chapter 5, verses 14, 15 says, anointed him with oil and prayed the prayer of faith over him. In 1 week's time, this man was well. Now, he had been sick for years. He had been sent home to die. What was wrong? He was under a curse from God because his wife had unforgiveness in her heart toward other people. God says, you cannot hold unforgiveness. So the curses and the blessings are real, whether you're under the law, under the Old Testament, or you're under the New Testament, the New Covenant. The blessings and the curses are still there. There's no difference. It's under the New Covenant. You must walk obedient to God's Word. You must walk in love, and you must do what He says. If you don't, that same sickness and disease will come upon you, just like it did this gentleman, because of his wife's disobedience to the Word of God, to hold grudges. He had been sick and afflicted, and he had been tormented many years of his life, and then he was sent home to die. And when I found out the problem, and I got her to repent of her sins, once this woman repented of her sins and asked all those people to forgive her, one prayer of faith, just like James 5:14 says, healed the sick, and the man was healed. So make sure that all of your sins are repented of. Make sure you're not under a curse. Make sure you're walking in obedience to God's Word, and then come to the Lord and ask Him to heal you according to His Word, and He will do it for you. We have to stop right there today, but if you'd like the teachings in its entirety, call us at 940-242-2106 or go to the web, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these teachings in their entirety, free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord.